live from the Poly Market Studio in LA. It's the Young Turks. You're about to watch what we call an extended clip of the Young Turks. And the reality is, it's somewhere in the middle. It's a little longer than our YouTube clips, but it's actually shorter than the whole 2-hour show, which you can get if you're a member. You can get it ad free, and make sure you catch every news story we do that day. You're going to love it as a full show. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Thanks for watching. What is this? Kyle Kulinski from Secular Talk. Inside Rebel headquarters. All right, this whole show is weird. It's Kyle's here for the first time in the LA studio, which is awesome. Great to have you here, Kyle.
Thanks, man. My pleasure.
Number two, I'm sitting on the wrong side. So this is the only side. I only sit here during old school. I don't know what happened today. Edwin explained it to me. Confused me. Okay, we're going old school? Okay, that's fine.
Hostile takeover. Right. I kicked you out of your chair.
Are you in the Nick Wilde chair? No, at least this is the Nick Wilde chair. All right. So Anna Kasparian is going to join us in the second hour. As usual, we've got a host of topics to cover there. Is YouTube too easy to infiltrate by the alt-right? Japanese men are staying inside with their parents. Good, bad, neither. I hope we get to that story. That's a fun story. Anyway, and then, of course, some stories about the administration. Ivanka Trump says, don't ask her about her daddy. Fascinating, since she's in the government. And in this hour, lots on the NRA, unsurprisingly. But also, you're going to love this question later. I think you're going to love it. Who interfered in the elections more, Russia or Holden? Will tell you what the other answer is a little bit later in the program. All right, without further ado, Kyle, take it away.
All right, let's do it. I'm really excited. Okay, so Sheriff Scott Israel is the sheriff in Broward County, Florida, where 17 students, unfortunately, were just killed in a mass shooting. It was at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. And since that happened, he's come out pretty strongly in favor of gun control. And Republicans are all over him because of that. So first, I want to take a moment here and look at Dana Loesch, who debated him last week at a CNN town hall.
Because I have kids, and I'm not just fighting for my kids. I'm fighting for you. I'm fighting for you. I'm fighting for all of you. So that answers your question with that.
Just interject for a second, though. And I understand you're standing up for the NRA, and I understand that's what you're supposed to do. But you just told this group of people that you are standing up for them. You're not standing up for them until you say, I want less weapons.
So that was a great moment. And Kyle, as soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, he's in trouble. Because the NRA and the right wing do not tolerate that kind of public dissent. So, and it's not just about politicians. I mean, look, they're targeting the survivors, right? So in that case, it's mainly the alt-right and the trolls and but some portions of, I don't know if there is such a thing as the legitimate right wing, but calling them crisis actors, etc. When a cop, a sheriff in this case, in his uniform, calls out the NRA on national television, they're going to come for him. And so, of course, they have.
Yeah. You know, I thought the badge and the uniform might make them hold off a little bit, but I was wrong.
No, but
it didn't do the trick.
Yeah. Of course, the new Republican Party is a little to a lot different than the old Republican. The old Republican Party was for free trade. The new Republican Party is theoretically against free trade. It's a little complicated. But
yeah,
that's
they're still for it. Yeah, I would be with them if they were against free trade.
I know.
Yeah.
But that's at least what Donald Trump sold them during the election. Mm-hmm. And the new Republican Party kind of hates cops. So they hate the FBI, which is the top law enforcement agency. They talk against them all the time. And if you're a cop who says, hey, by the way, I don't like all these guns in the neighborhood, one, because they kill cops, two, because they kill the citizens we're supposed to protect, well, then you're a marked man. So the only question is how they're going to come after him.
Right. So it's actually worse than that, though, because Republicans decided to take it a step further. So the Miami Herald reports here, cheers from the students at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School have been drowned out by demands from dozens of state lawmakers that he be suspended from office for incompetence and neglect of duty. Queries about acts of heroism have been replaced by a state investigation into why one of his deputies waited while teenage gunman Nicholas Cruz killed 17 and wounded 15 more with an assault rifle. Now, the Florida House Speaker, Richard Corcoran, said of Sheriff Israel, "The failures of Sheriff Israel and his deputies during and after the horrific shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School on February 14, 2018, and their failures to intervene regarding Nicholas Jacob Cruz in the years, months, and days leading up to that shooting are unacceptable and unforgivable. As a result of Sheriff Israel's failures, students and teachers died." So I think what they're trying to do here is deflect from the obvious conversation, the elephant in the room, which is, hey, what should we do about our insanely weak gun laws? And so these are diversion tactics, and it looks like it kind of worked because we really are having a conversation now about that.
Oh, no, it completely worked. What drives me crazy about mainstream media is how oblivious they are to political gaming. So they're just like, what do you think we're covering, politics? Like, yeah, that's what you're pretending to do. You're pretending to cover the news and the politics. So it didn't occur to you that the Republicans don't want to talk about gun control and hence will look for diversionary tactics just like this one? It didn't occur to you that when the sheriff spoke out against the NRA that the right-wing politicians owned by the NRA would then target the sheriff? Are you in the news business? And so I don't know if it's naivete or they're just insistence on not wanting to be called liberal and neutrality, etc. But those are two main reasons they're going after the sheriff in this case. And look, there's one other thing that they need to be called out on, and we'll do it. Again, the mainstream media almost certainly will not do it, which is them saying like, oh, I can't. Not only did the guy not go in. Now, look, you put a guy at a post, you tell him to go in, and he doesn't go in. I literally don't know what you're supposed to do about that. And afterwards, you immediately get rid of him. Okay.
Fine with getting rid of him. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not totally sure what else you're supposed to do, although I do have thoughts on their training in a second. But in terms of the second point from the Republican politician you just read the quote from, Kyle, he said, oh, he should have done something about Nicholas Cruz, the shooter, before the shooting. Really? First of all, the NRA, which you wholeheartedly support and back, says that they shouldn't do anything about the mentally ill. So, and what's your standard? Because if your new standard is anyone who's ever gotten treatment gets their guns taken away, I'll agree to that standard. I know a lot of people who've gotten treatment won't agree to that, and the NRA will be furious and go vote for it. Hey, you're a Republican politician in Florida. You're an important one. Why don't you introduce the bill? In fact, if Sheriff Israel had gone after the shooter ahead of time and said, I'm taking your guns away because you once got treatment and somebody complained about you, the Republicans would have been foaming at the mouth. Sir, get a man. How could you do this to a wonderful American who exercising his rights? If it's the new standard, I agree right away. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's a great point. They're saying, yeah, why didn't you do something about it? And your response is, yeah, I agree. The guy was out of his mind, and it was clear. He was posting on YouTube under his own name. He would make the argument, I'm going to do a mass shooting. Like, he said that openly. I am going to be a professional mass shooter under his name on YouTube. And if you're going to have a universal background check, why wouldn't that be included? Why wouldn't you comb through their people's social media accounts? And if they have statements like, I don't know, I'm going to do a mass shooting, you say, okay, well, then you're not going to get guns.
Well, if we're looking at people's social media accounts now, if that's really the Republican proposal, that's fascinating. My guess is a lot of your voters aren't going to agree with that. Certainly your supporters online aren't going to agree with that. Because I don't think it has to be as specific as I'm going to do a mass shooting. In this case, it was. But if you threaten violence online, and the other things that they had against the shooter were, he killed small animals. Some people call that hunting. Okay. But I don't. I think that's dangerous. But some people revel in it. Mitt Romney bragged about how he killed vermin. Okay, and rodents or whatever with his gun, which is preposterous. But anyway, and then he showed his guns, and they said, that's so dangerous. He showed his guns all over social media. We're going to take away the guns of people showing their guns on social media and saying violent things? Wonderful. Do you know how many right-wing guns we're going to take away? You don't mean that for a second. All you want to do is blame the sheriff because you didn't like what he said on national TV, and you want everyone to desperately look away.
Yeah, and he actually responded and said the following. Leaders are responsible for the agency, but leaders are not responsible for a person. I gave him a gun. I gave him a badge. I gave him the training. If he didn't have the heart to go in, that's not my responsibility. And by the way, now there's an official state investigation into the sheriff and his department, and 73 Republicans want him to step down. I think 73 Florida Republicans, Florida elected Republicans.
Yeah. So the only part that I'll agree with in this argument by the Republicans is some of the, in a related but slightly different, it's the same case, but not about the guy who didn't go in. They say that a lot of the cops took too long to go in once they arrived.
Yeah.
Okay. So. But that's exactly what we've been warning you about, which is that the cops are now trained that their lives are more important than the citizens' lives. So if it's an unarmed guy, but it looks like he might have a comb or he might have a knife or he might have something, who cares? Shoot him dead. You'd never take a chance with your own life. Well, if you keep telling the cops over and over again, you know the old line about better to be judged by 12 than carried out by 6, which is what they tell almost every cop in the country. Like, don't carried out by 6 if that's, you know, your pallbearers, you don't want to get shot. Who cares? The juries are going to let you off. Anyway, it's like the worst saying in America. In other words, who cares about the citizens? Just protect yourself. Then we're all surprised that cops are reluctant to go into an active shooting because they were trained that their lives are more important than the citizens' lives, and they should never, ever take a risk with their life. The training sucks, and that is all across the country. Again, Republicans, you want to fix that training and tell the cops don't shoot unless you're sure that it's a grave threat to your life. You want to tell them, hey, make sure that you rush in and take more risks with your life in order to protect the citizens? Deal. So we've got two deals here today if you'd like to actually take them. But it's not about that, right? It's about blaming someone else and making sure there's no gun control.
Yeah, and I'm totally fine with having the conversation about where the cops did and didn't mess up. No problem with that at all. But the whole point of this is they want you to take your eye off the ball for the real conversation, which is we have insanely lax gun laws, which have gotten us to the point where 32,000 people die every year in America because of gun violence. So, you know, we can change that. We can choose to change that, but they're trying to divert from that conversation by any means necessary. So let's move on to the next story here because this is really interesting. So we have some new poll numbers on gun reform to share with you. First, let's go to some numbers from CNN. 70% support stricter gun control. It was just 52% in October, so that's a giant tick up in the numbers there. 27% oppose stricter gun control. Let's take a look at the USA Today poll. 76% want to ban people with mental illnesses from purchasing guns. 63% want semi-automatic weapons banned. And then I saved the doozy for the final one here, Cenk. Look at the Quinnipiac poll. 97% of people support universal background checks. So that includes, obviously, you know, overwhelming majority of Democrats, but an overwhelming majority of independents, overwhelming majority of Republicans, overwhelming majority of gun owners, which actually gets to a point that you make all the time, which is the real problem. It's not even the NRA. The real problem is the leadership of the NRA, because the leadership of the NRA is bought by the gun makers. So if you speak to, you know, regular run-of-the-mill gun owner, they're going to tell you, yeah, I don't want anybody getting a gun without a background check, because then they think that that affects their right to own a gun. So we're all on the same page here, but there's this mucked up fake debate. That's what it looks like to me, because the people who make the guns want there to be a fake debate, and they have money and power.
So a couple of points off that. When asked in another part of the poll, how many of you do you think have excellent or just good faith that Congress is going to take action on this?
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, The host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Only 19% said yes, that they have any faith. Now, 97% believe we should have universal background checks, but only 19% think we're going to get them. Do you think we live in a democracy? Because apparently the American people don't think we live in a democracy. If 97% of the people believe something in a democracy, well, it would certainly become law. But not in our country, because now the NRA, and before it wasn't as bought by the gun manufacturers. When it first started, it really was for the members. It was for people who were actually when hunting, used rifles, etc. Now they get more money from weapons manufacturers. It's all about the money, Lebowski. So they take some portion of that and they give it to the politicians. $30 million to Donald Trump, $3 million to Marco Rubio. By the way, over $7 million to John McCain. And the list goes on and on of millions of dollars the NRA has funneled for the weapons manufacturers to the politicians. So 97% of you agree. Who cares? What do you think? This is a democracy. And by the way, why is it that gun owners want that universal background check? Well, if you're a law-abiding citizen and you go to your local shop to buy a gun, you got to go through a background check. But you just go to a gun show and there are no rules there, and you can just anybody can buy a gun.
Yep.
Well, number one, that's not fair.
Yep.
Right. Number two, anyone can see. That totally gets rid of the rule where you have to buy it legally. Number three, you could see how the bad guy would immediately go to a gun show to buy the guns. And it's against the rule of law. And Kyle made a really important point there. If you abuse the Second Amendment this much and say there are no rules at all to the Second Amendment, it's not constrained by anything. I could get an RPG and fire, missiles at you, and I can get a tank, and I can get a nuke, and I can get it illegally at not illegally, now it's legal, at a gun show without any background checks. Guess what they're going to do? Finally, at some point, people are going to go, maybe the Second Amendment sucks. Maybe we should take it away. And people who like the Second Amendment go, wait, no, why aren't we doing background checks on people? Then the bad guys will get guns.
Yeah. And there's another really important point here, too, which is, hey, Democrats, run on this issue. They're not running on this issue. And you know what's really fascinating about this? On many issues, the Democrats and the Republicans have similar donors. So you kind of see why it is that the Democrats are weak on, like, Wall Street, for example, and why they often do, center-right policies and they're Republican-light. But on the issue of guns, this is a rare issue where they're actually not bought off by the NRA. The overwhelming majority of Democrats do not take any money from the NRA or gun makers. So this shows you the fundamental weakness of the Democrats, because even when they're not bought off, they're still doing the wrong policy. They're still not fighting for it. And, you know, I covered a story on my show a few weeks ago about how even in red districts, this issue is popular. If you run on universal background checks, for example, even if you go as far as a ban on high-capacity magazines, even in red districts, people are like, yeah, we want this because you know what? Regular people have kids and they see how often these kids are getting massacred at schools. But the Democrats are failing to fight back, and it shows you that they're weak and they have no clue how to win elections. They're utterly clueless.
Well, that's the unfortunate byproduct of a system that systematically selects weak Democrats. Now, they select weak Democrats so that they'll lay down to Wall Street. So they'll lay down to the pharmaceutical companies and the oil companies and the defense companies. But once you've selected a person whose job is to lay down, when he gets to the gun manufacturers, he's like, I don't know, I've been trained to lay down, so I'm going to lay down. Now, this is not theoretical. We covered a story last week where Senate Democrats talked to reporters on the Hill and said, we're not going to run on this issue because it might hurt Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp's chances in their races. And they said, well, then the other side will say that we're trying to take away everyone's guns. Well, you could counter that by talking and making your own points. But they're so used to surrendering, and they've been pre-selected to surrender, that even on an issue where they're not bought, they surrender because that's in their nature. Yeah. So, I mean, for God's sake, we know for a fact, that it's not in dispute. The Democrats have said individual Democrats can run in their own districts or states on this issue, but there will be no national messaging from the Democratic Party on this issue. They will not fight on this issue. If you don't fight on an issue where you have 97% of the American people behind you, what will you fight on? And the answer is absolutely nothing.
Well, what they're going to do is break down the barriers, and they're going to be stronger together, and they're going to use some more platitudes and cliches.
Yeah.
That's the message.
Yeah. If they actually fought on this, they could win not only policy fights in a new Congress, but you could win politically. It would actually help you to get more victories. I don't know if you know this, but when 97% of the people are on your side, that's usually a winning electoral strategy. And by the way, you know, we keep using the 97% number, and that's a layup. But put that aside, because that's a specific issue of universal background checks and the gun show loophole, etc. But two-thirds of Americans, 66%, say they want tighter gun control across the board. Two-thirds! Across the board! You got two-thirds of the American people on your side. You don't fight. Then retire. Go. Step aside. Let Justice Democrats come in. Let progressives come in. Let uncorrupted progressives come in. Just surrender already. Of course, the only time they ever actually do fight is in primaries when there's a
against
real...
Against the progressives.
Against the progressives who are uncorrupted.
Right. And on that note, let's take our first break here.
Yeah. And when we come back... if you haven't seen it already, Donald Trump's quote on what he would have done in Florida during the shooting. I don't know if you're going to love it, hate it, but it is unreal to give that to you when we come back. Thanks for listening to this podcast. You're only halfway through, so hold, stay right here. Just want to remind you, if you want to get all five segments of the Young Turks commercial free, these are just two of them. Every day we do it. So go to tytnetwork.com/join. And you get the whole five segments, 2 hours, ad-free. Do it now. All right, back on the Young Turks. Cenk Uygur, Kyle Kalinske with you guys. Quick tweets as usual. Daniel A says, holy crap, Kyle Kalinske's on the Young Turks. Wow, how cool. Okay, I'm going to stop reading those, but thank you guys.
No, keep going. I like it.
Blakely says, what's the point of voting Democratic when they're weak and don't stand up for progressive priorities? I know voting conservative is not an option, but the reality of the Republican-like Dems is really discouraging. But that's why we tell you primaries are the most important thing. They're more important than the general election because you could actually get uncorrupted people who take no corporate PAC money and who are true progressives. I mean, read the platform on justdemocrats.com. You will love that platform written by the guy over there. Okay. and all those candidates have signed up for it, and they're all in primaries. So make sure, look, go to tytnetwork.com/register to figure out how to register in your own state when the elections are in your state. They have all that information. All we do is redirect you to a government website that is the essential place to get all that information. And elections are tomorrow night. We're doing coverage starting at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern here on the Young Turks. But most importantly, Arizona's 8th District. If you live there, you must vote. Go vote in the primary. Brianna Westbrook is the Justice Democratic candidate there.
She's awesome, and I would love to vote for her if I could.
Yeah, and make sure you guys turn out. All right, a couple of YouTube super chats. Fred Curry says, what a joke, draft dodger Trump running in. Yeah, if his bone spur doesn't cause him to cry. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yes.
I forgot to mention that. He claimed to have a bone spur. That's why he couldn't go into Vietnam. Otherwise, he'd have rushed in even without a weapon.
By the way, Rush Limbaugh, too. Basically, everybody who's a big cheerleader for the war,
yeah,
they were like, oh, my ankle hurt or something.
No, Rush Limbaugh was even better. He claimed to have a tail. Something like, I'm not kidding.
What?
It was something that grew out of his anus. I'm not kidding. Look it up. Okay? Google it. And it had like mucus and hair, whatever. He's like, I got this thing growing out of my anus.
Oh, no. Stop it. Stop talking.
And when they asked Trump about his bone spur during the campaign, they're like, which foot was it on? And he's like, oh, I don't remember. Maybe both. The worst.
Yeah, okay. They really are the worst.
Peter Hamby on YouTube Super Chat. President Trump used bone spurs to evade the military, yet he says he would stop the Parkland shooting. Who does he think he is? Dr. Ben Carson? Who he says he would just persuade the shooter to drop the AR-15 with soft words.
Well, you know, Cenk, I think I'm going to say stuff before I sleep.
Yeah, and super last thing by super last thing is Trump also almost bolted out of a room when an eagle yelled at him. That was another video we were thinking of running. Yes, when he had the eagle and he was trying to do a photo op and the eagle spread its wings and he was like, oh, I think it did. Yeah.
I like the way you worded that, eagles yelling at him.
Yes.
That's pretty funny.
And we don't mean Nick Foles. All right, what's next?
Okay. So when it comes to the foreign influence of U.S. elections, there are some angles to the story that are almost totally ignored by corporate media. This is one of those stories here. So Li Fang of The Intercept is reporting that a Chinese state-owned chemical firm is pouring dark money into U.S. elections. So he explains, I'm going to butcher this, Wanhua Chemical, a $10 billion chemical company controlled by the Chinese government, now has an avenue to influence American elections. On Monday, Wanhua joined the American Chemistry Council, a lobby organization for chemical manufacturers that is unusually aggressive in intervening in U.S. politics. The ACC is a prominent recipient of so-called dark money, that is, unlimited amounts of cash from corporations or individuals, the origins of which are only disclosed to the IRS, not the public. During the 2012, 2014, and 2016 elections, the ACC took this dark money and spent over $40 million of it on contributions to super PACs, lobbying, and direct expenditures. So to give people some more specifics here, they funded last-minute ads to try and get Republican Eric Cantor reelected. They gave $50,000 to a super PAC supporting David Vitter in Louisiana. And when lobbying to revamp chemical safety rules, they aired advertisements for all the pro-industry Republicans. And then I want to give you one more fact here. Li Fang explains, the 2010 Supreme Court Citizens United ruling and related decisions made it possible for corporate trade associations like the ACC, known as nonprofit 501c6 corporations, to spend as much as they want directly advocating for or against candidates for office, so long as that is not its primary activity, the IRS says. So this just gets to how much of a parody our laws are when it comes to campaign finance.
So number of issues here. Number one, the idea that these trade associations are not spending a majority of their money on politics is laughable.
Mm-hmm.
They form a lobbying organization to do what? Mainly play around with chemicals and have fun, but 49% of their money goes to helping politicians who vote with them all the time. No, in reality, there's almost no check on these guys. The FEC will not act. So they spend a great majority of their money. And by the way, if they only spent 49% of their money on politics, it would still be terrible. So what is this? This is a foreign company putting money into a trade association, which then gives it to politicians. I believe that's called interfering in our elections. And of course, they're not the only ones. The Saudis also do it. They also have a company that is in the same group for the chemical companies. They also join that trade group. They also give money. Now, there's a second rule that says, oh, you're supposed to take the foreign money, like the Saudis and the Chinese money, and make sure that you don't spend that on the elections. Number one, again, no one checks. Number two, it's dark money, so you don't really know where it's coming from. The only people who know is the IRS, but the IRS has been completely neutered, so We can't even find out where's the money coming from and where is it going to. And so some excellent reporting by The Intercept here to even find out that these groups have joined this lobbying organization. And then, and even if it were all on the level and they took the Saudi money or the Chinese money, and let's say they take $10 million to make up a number, right? Then they say, oh, I'm not spending that on the elections, but lucky me, that freed up $10 million I had over here to spend on the elections. So this is all a giant shell game.
Yeah. I love how the Supreme Court tries to argue, well, yeah, foreign money, you can't allow that into the election because if you do, that's obviously corruption because they're paying for something in return, favorable policies.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
But if Wall Street and Big Pharma and the for-profit insurance companies and the oil industry and all these other, you know, groups spend money on the election, well, that's totally fine. And that's not only not corruption, it's not even the appearance of corruption, according to the Supreme Court. So it really is like, this is honestly laughable. Like, and if there was a Martian that came down and you tried to explain the logic to them of our campaign finance laws, they'd be like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It makes absolutely no sense.
So we're going to do a poll in a second about Russia, and I want you guys to vote, and it's really important. So I'm going to connect it back to that in a second. One more egregious thing about this, and then I want to expand on what Kyle said. So the FEC is broken down into 3 Democrats and 3 Republicans. So the Democrats have said, hey, look, it looks like foreign money is coming in. Forget Russia, from the Chinese and from all of these other business interests into the country and affecting politics. And the Republicans went, yeah, whatever, man. They're mainly giving it to us. We vote no. So they voted at the FEC to do nothing about it, even though it is clearly foreign money interfering in our elections. But just like Mitch McConnell during the 2016 election, he's like, wait, which side is it going to? Oh, it's going to our candidate? Whatever. Don't care. Interfere away. By the way, what are you doing? You're setting up an auction. So maybe the Russians are on the Republican side. Maybe the Chinese decide that their interests are on the Democratic side. And by the way, if they aren't today, if they buy enough Democratic politicians, they will tomorrow. So now we've got an auction. Who would like to buy American politicians? The Russians, the Chinese, the Saudis, the Israelis, the Norwegians, whoever. Come on, come all. Because we've legalized bribery and we allow foreign corporations to do it. Also, by the way, connected to their governments. But think about it in a broader sense to what Kyle said. So there's this particular story that The Intercept did a wonderful job breaking that directly funnels foreign corporate money into our politicians. But then the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is the largest lobbying group for business interests, also takes foreign money. So all those guys who brag about, Chamber of Commerce supports me, you're partly saying the Saudi Chamber of Commerce supports you. And then think about the third layer of it, which is, well, all public corporations are multinational by definition because they have foreign shareholders, they have domestic shareholders and foreign shareholders. They have domestic and foreign executives. They have domestic and foreign board members. So how are they an American corporation? And the last loophole is hilarious. If a company like this, and they have actually done this, this particular company, comes in and they're wholly owned outside the country and even maybe by their governments, as some of them are, but they set up a subsidiary in America, then they get to do whatever they want. They're like, oh no, that's now an American corporation because you set up a shell subsidiary in Delaware. So all of our campaign jokes are a joke. All these foreign countries and companies are buying us nonstop.
Yeah. And, you know, final point I want to make on this is look at the difference between mainstream media on issues like this and what we're doing right now. Because the degree to which they don't think about, care about, talk about the influence from Saudi Arabia and Israel in particular, because they tend to have the most influence on the U.S. government. But, I mean, we just gave over $100 billion weapons deal to Saudi Arabia. They lobby in the U.S. nonstop for stuff like that. Trump registered 8 new businesses in Saudi Arabia when he was on the campaign trail. He took $270,000 from them, from top Saudi officials, at one of his hotels after he had been elected president. I mean, and they don't talk about it in any way. And it's like, okay, well, thank you for leaving the door wide open for independent new media to step in, point out the most obvious thing in the world, and then
yeah,
it's sad. It's the most pathetic thing I've ever seen.
Well, they are multinational corporations, so why were they pointed out?
They're in the club, exactly. They're right. In the club. They're friends with the politicians.
And this literally affects them. So, our poll question, who interfered in U.S. elections more? A, Russia. B, multinational corporations. Now, you could vote at tytnetwork.com/interference. That link will be really easy to click on in the description box below on YouTube as well, and in the comment section on Facebook. But look, obviously, we're proving a point here. But if you think, but a lot of Democrats might vote Russia, I don't know. Now, I believe I have a lot of credibility on this issue because I think Russia did interfere in our elections. Kyle and I have argued about the severity of that interference. You should check that out on TYT Interviews or Secular Talk.
A lot of views, by the way.
Yeah. but I think Russia did interfere, and I think that's terrible. But is it at the same level as multinational corporations that systematically buy all of our politicians in every election? That's the biggest no-brainer in the world.
Yeah.
But if you guys vote multinational corporations and then we show that to the mainstream media, they'll be shocked. They'll be like, oh my God, what kind of radicals think that corporations giving to politicians is interfering in our elections? No, they're obviously doing it for their health or because they believe in charity. I mean, they believe in insanity. They believe in insanity. They give money to corporations, give money to politicians. Why? To buy them, because they get a return on investment. So if you care about Russia as I do in the interference, or you don't care about it, or you don't think it's important, it doesn't matter. The much larger issue is that we've allowed for wholesale bribery of all of our politicians.
Yeah.
By the way, if you want to stop that, wolf-pack.com, go there now. We'll put that link down below as well. Fight to get money out of politics for everybody.
Boom. Okay.
What's
so,
next?
When Donald Trump was on the campaign trail, he pretended to be an economic populist. And even for the few months of his presidency, he kind of doubled down on that charade. So I want to refresh everybody's memory about this. Let's take a look at the video.
So we're going to turn things around. We're going to turn them around fast. We're not going to lose carrier air conditioning. We're not going to let that happen. When people and countries take our companies and take our jobs, there are going to be consequences. They're not going to take them because we're not going to let carrier come in, make air conditioners in Mexico, sell the air conditioners to us across a very strong border now without consequence. And when we explain to the heads of carrier that here's the story, either stay or if you want to go to Mexico, we wish you a lot of luck. But when you sell your air conditioners, you're going to pay a 35% tax as those air conditioners cross the border. And you know what's going to happen? They're not going to move. They're not going to move. But we're not going to let them just take our companies out, fire everybody. These are people with carrier for many, many years. We're not going to let it happen.
So let me just say right off the bat here, that was strong rhetoric. And I think that had a lot to do with why he won the election, because all he had to do was chip away in the Rust Belt, which he did. He was over there talking about how NAFTA was terrible and all your jobs were shipped out. And he really ran a strong economic populist campaign. Now, he was lying, as I'm about to get to in a second. But that kind of rhetoric, if he delivered on that kind of stuff, he would have gotten guff let's say, from the corporate Democrats nonstop, but they would have been wrong because that's protectionism. And we need a lot more of that because we keep outsourcing jobs everywhere else and they're building sweatshops and all that stuff. But I want to refresh everybody's memory a little further. So The Hill explains here. In December 2016, United Technologies announced it had reached a deal with then-President-elect Trump to keep about 1,000 jobs at a carrier manufacturing plant in Indiana that were slated to move to Mexico. The company also pledged to invest $16 million in the plan. The company received millions of dollars in tax breaks over 10 years to keep the jobs in the U.S. Okay, so, you know, here's where we're starting to see the charade fall apart, because he's rolling out the red carpet and basically giving them giant subsidies in order for them to keep the jobs here. Well, it gets even worse. Last July, the plant laid off 300 workers at the Indianapolis facility, and in November, the company announced it would lay off more than 200 additional employees at the plant. Okay, still not done with how bad it gets. Listen to this. United Technologies was recently awarded a $2.5 billion Department of Defense contract with no competition, according to a new report. So, look at what happened here. Trump got together with United Technologies and Carrier behind closed doors and said, listen, how can we make it look like I'm an economic populist while me still giving you whatever you want? So at the end of the day, he made a deal with them where he said, keep the jobs here for a few months, maybe a year, whatever. When nobody's looking, ship the jobs overseas. And I'm going to give you a giant subsidy, a lot of taxpayer money. And then I'm going to give you a $2.5 billion deal with the Pentagon. So this is hose the taxpayers, hose the workers, all while pretending to be an economic populist. So in other words, he's a liar and he's a fake populist. And if the Democrats run an actual populist against Donald Trump, they'll win in a historic landslide.
So now I had given Donald Trump a little bit of credit on this when he initially announced the deal. And I'll tell you why I gave him the credit and why I am completely retracting that now. Because you have to be open to facts and not just go with your prejudged opinions. So I don't like Donald Trump. I voted against him. I fought against him tooth and nail during the election. But when he said, I'm going to take away TPP, I was like, well, I like that.
Yep, me
and,
too.
And he did. And I said, my guess is he'll bring it back and
that's
he'll
right.
say he'll negotiate a better deal. And he just said that.
Exactly.
Okay. So now, but for the moment being, we don't have TPP. If he kept that up, we'd give him credit.
He slipped provisions of it into the renegotiation of NAFTA, though. The worst provisions of TPP slipped him right back into the renegotiations of NAFTA.
Right. Now, in the carrier deal, during the transition, when he's about to come into office, they announced a deal where they said they were going to keep the 1,000 jobs. But what Trump did that the corporate Democrats and the media complained about was, he said, look, you guys get a lot of government contracts. Maybe I don't give you those government contracts, so you better keep those jobs here. And everybody cried about that. And I was like, no, I like that.
Yeah.
I want the president to be a tough guy. I wish Obama had done that. Mm-hmm. I want him to say, hey, you want government contracts? Then you better have U.S. workers getting the jobs. It's not that complicated. I would do that in a second. Oh, well, technically this, right? But it turns out it was all a lie. So those jobs are now gone. But Carrier got the tax breaks anyway. And they got an extra $16 million they were supposed to, as part of the deal, invest in the facilities. You know what they did? Their own CEO admits they invested it in automation, which means cutting your jobs. Okay. So you want to talk about insult to injury? And then they shipped your jobs abroad anyway. And then on top of that, Trump gave them a $2.5 billion defense contract. Another insult to injury. It was a no-bid contract. So no free market, no competition. We have a crooked deal not to keep the workers here. If it was, Kyle and I would be in favor of it.
100%.
In fact, we made videos in favor of it,
right?
But no, the deal was you give Trump good marketing. That's a lie. And then later, I'll let you fire anyone you like and give you a multi-billion-dollar no-bid contract on top. That is disgusting.
He's a liar. That's what he is. He's a liar. He said repeatedly on the campaign trail, and he tweeted about it nonstop, I'm not going to cut your Social Security and Medicare. I'm not going to cut it. Mike Huckabee stole that from me. He's saying he's not going to cut it. I told you I'm not going to cut it first. I said it first. Well, guess what? He already proposed cutting it in the tax bill. They already cut it. So he's just a liar. You need to get that through your head. And the Democrats need to understand, you could easily beat him if you just run a populist in 2020.
Yeah. You know what? If you're a progressive, you don't have to lie about those things. And one last thing, You've got the Republicans and a terrible right-wing Republican like Donald Trump who uses racism and bigotry and all that stuff adopting progressive positions to win the election. He doesn't actually do it, but he's at least smart enough to know. And it doesn't take much to know it. Just read the polls. They're overwhelmingly, the country's overwhelmingly in favor of those progressive positions. And the idiot corporate Democrats.
Got to run to the right. Run to the right. Yeah. Oh my God, we're too progressive. We got to run to the right.
And they let him steal progressive positions right from underneath their nose and pretend to be a progressive. And they never even called him out on it.
Yep.
All they did was like, Trump's a bad guy, Trump's a bad guy.
Well, they argued, no, they argued your rhetoric is bad about cracking down on corporations for shipping jobs overseas. When they should have been the ones making the argument, no, we are going to do protectionism, we are going to keep your jobs here. So they fall for the trap, they're still falling for it right now. After Hillary Clinton's loss, what did they say? They said, oh, Bernie pushed her too far to the left. That was the
problem. but Bernie was against the TPP and Hillary was for the TPP and 100 other examples I can give you. And it turns out they voted for the candidate who was against TPP and against those trade deals. If you don't go populist left, you will get populist right. And that is the disaster we're living in right now.
Fake populist right. But yes.
Exactly. All right, we got to go. When we come back, is the right wing manipulating YouTube for their own benefit, and how are they doing it? And that is important for spreading propaganda. And then Ivanka says, you're not allowed to ask me about my daddy on certain issues. Can't wait to talk about that. We'll be right back. Thanks for watching what I hope was a lovely edition of the Young Turks. Now, you know that is two of the five segments that we do because that's free. We want to have you support independent media and come watch the whole show that we do every day. That's five segments overall, no ads at all. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Come become a member. Thanks for watching either way. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.